Hello, welcome everybody, welcome back to another episode, another week of Profound Truth. Welcome. Hope everybody's doing all right today. How are you today, Ignacio?
Very good, God is so good. Amen. We are so blessed.
Yes, yes, definitely blessed and thankful. Well, today, I said another week, another episode. I think this is episode, what number episode is this now, Ignacio?
This is 72.
72, wow. That's incredible. So that's so good. Yeah, it's crazy. Time just goes by, Ignacio. Wow. Time is flying. And today, what is the topic we have for today, Ignacio? Ooh,
this is very, very nice.
Hitting rock bottom. I think everybody can definitely relate to that. I think we've all had some moments in our life where we've hit rock bottom. But definitely a lot to learn when you hit rock bottom. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at and getting into today. But like always, before we really get started, let's just open this episode up with some prayer. Invite God into this so that we can have him involved in everything we're doing here tonight.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you just thankful, Lord. Just thankful, Lord, for another week, another episode, another day to be able to talk to people and spread some good news about you, Lord, to spread a message, Lord, to bring people some hope, to bring people maybe shed some light on the situation or maybe just some insight or some understanding on something, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we ask that you be with us in this episode, Lord. Be with us as we speak tonight. Be with us in our words and what we're saying, Lord. Let it not be something off our own understanding or our own words, Lord. Let it be your words and what needs to be said, because you know who's going to watch this. You know who's going to hear this. And so whether they're watching now or they listen or watch it later, Lord, let it just speak straight to their hearts, Lord. Yes. Let them open their ears to hear what was being said here tonight, Lord. Open their hearts to you, Lord. And we just pray that it blesses everyone out there tonight. And we thank you for everyone that watches and listens. And we thank you for everything you're doing through this podcast, Lord. Yes, we know, Lord, that with you, Lord, all things are possible. With you, Lord, this can reach so many people and touch so many people's hearts. And that's what we're here to do, to just spread the good news about you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and give you all the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And when we are talking about hitting rock bottom, brother, it's when there is no other way to go. When sometimes we think it is the last place. In today's episode, brother, we call this because I think it's a beautiful presentation that when we are talking about one amazing scripture.
Yeah.
And this is from the book of Ruth. Have you read it before little bit?
I've read the book of Ruth, but if I can be completely honest, it's definitely a book you don't hear too many people talk about, and I've read it, but I know it, but I don't know it as well as I know some of the other books in the Bible, if I'm just being honest.
And a lot of people has that name, right? Good people that we know. Like Sister Ruth has that name. My sister-in-law has that name. My niece have that name. But what we want to talk about is something very powerful and amazing. You know, for me, I have been reading this book, man, it's beautiful. It has been touching me a lot, brother. Very powerful book, you know. And when we are talking about hitting bottom, you know, hitting rock bottom, I think it's when you somehow you find yourself in a deep hole. When you think there is no other way. And just before you read the first chapter, just for everybody to understand what is this book about, it's mentioned that there was a woman called Noemi, right? That's her name.
Yeah.
Did they might say Naomi?
Naomi?
Yeah. No?
No, you did.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay. No, but I said Noemi, but did they
Oh, how to say it? I mean, yeah. I think it's both ways.
Okay. So, this lady has a family, a husband, and two sons. And by the time that she was living in Israel, apparently there was so much hunger in around.
Yeah, a famine.
Like a famine, right? But she decided with her husband, I would say her husband decided to go to a different
land.
Place. But it was called
Moab.
Moab. That's the place, right?
Yeah, Moab.
Brother, do you know what is that place? You remember Lot?
Yeah.
When he sinned, when his daughter drunk him and
got him drunk and got slept him drunk with him in and the cave.
Yeah. That descendants are that particular place. Mm. And in Israel, they were considered like a very bad people because of that descendants that they have, that background, you know. So if you are from that particular location, people will see you like you are really a very, very horrible human being just because of that background.
Yeah.
And they went over there, you know. But the most difficult part was 10 years later, brother.
Yeah.
After they, you know, established over there, the children got married. Somehow, her husband died. Mm. And no long time ago, also the two children.
After the husband died?
Yeah. And then, just to dive in, go back, read the first chapter. Yeah. That way we can understand a little bit.
So, starting at the beginning, Ruth 1, starting with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed him and lifted up their voices, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they might be your that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you. or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest.
All right, so it's a lot, brother. Okay. Right there, it's a lot. First, just for you to know the background of from this lady come from, is really when the law, I would say they call the descendant of incest. You know, when you have relationship with your daddy and mom, those. Yeah. So they are very well known at that. Yeah. You coming from Moabite?
Yeah, the Moab.
Moabite, yeah. Are you coming from that town?
Yeah.
No, I don't want anything with you. But look, what she was saying is that she was full, kind of, right? And then she came empty because of the Lord.
Yeah.
She basically is blaming the Lord. And this is the tendency that we all has. When we go through a very difficult times, we had to blame the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
When in the first place, what is it? What's the her husband and her and everybody, they left the land of the Lord, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's usually what happens. Like you're saying, like what she's saying, the Lord dealt bitterly with me, or he, you know, the Lord has dealt with me in a bitterly way. And if, like you said, the first thing they did is instead of just staying and trusting the Lord in the land that he has them in, instead they ran away from that land and tried to go to another land. And kind of like what you're saying is, a lot of times when we hit rock bottom and we tend to blame God. And then we run away from God. I always tell people there's two things that's going to happen when something bad happens in your life. One thing is going to be like what happened here. We blame God and we run away from God. But the second thing that's going to happen is you can use that situation to bring you closer to God. I've seen people do both ways. Something happens to them, they blame God, and they're either going to get run away from him or they're either going to run even closer to him.
Yeah. And the first things that I can see is that she stop trusting in the Lord. First, because there is a FEMA around the world, you cannot stop trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
Because there is some hunger, some illness, disease, whatever around the world, you cannot stop trusting the Lord. Yeah. That's the first things that they did. Oh, because there is
famine in the land.
Famine on the land. Nobody has food, whatever. Yeah. Let's go to this particular land. But let me tell you, this land not only have the incestual relationship that started that particular village, but also it has idolatry.
Yep, they worshipped other gods and idols.
Very, very bad. Just because of that, you should have thinking about, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to a place that everything is just worshiping a God that is not real.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to leave. Basically, Israel in that particular time, the Bible said that there was no judge.
Yeah.
There was no king. So everybody was doing what they, you know, think that they were doing right to their own perspective, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this lady, I don't know if you can reach the name Naomi. I had it over here.
Oh, like what it means?
Yeah.
What I was gonna say is and kind of like what you're saying, when they went to the land with the different gods, that's kind of what we do as people. When we tried it with God and when it didn't work, so then we started to put our faith or to put our belief in something else, like, you know, God didn't do it, so let me try it this way and let me try it that way. And so now we start to, you know, we don't, as you know, the Bible talks about idols, you know, we don't maybe have like a golden calf or object, but we start to tend to put our faith into something else in the same way, which I'm sure it doesn't speak about, but I'm sure there was a lot of people, and when they went into that land, they kind of acquired the customs of that land, and they turned away from the one true God, and they started worshiping idols, which definitely happened a lot all throughout the Bible. Bible.
Yeah. And you know, I think here's the feminine name, the region, meaning pleasant, you know, pleasant.
Pleasant or gentle.
Yeah. So, before she was a pleasant, gentle. But then, when she come back with all this calamity, with all this suffering,
yeah,
and the people, I'm talking about 10 years later, people recognize her.
Yeah.
And they welcome her. They get excited, you know. But look the reason why she decided to go back. In the land where she was at, she heard that God favored, came back to Israel.
Yeah.
And got a star blessing.
Yeah.
How do you leave God to go anywhere if you knew that God still will bless you?
Yeah.
There where you are.
Yeah.
That was at least when you hear rock bottom, I'm going to tell you, at least recognize and go back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because she did something very amazing. She didn't stop in that particular place.
Yeah.
She decided, I'm going back.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes, I mean, of course, God never wants that to happen for us, but sometimes he does allow us to hit that rock bottom, because sometimes it takes us hitting rock bottom to turn back to the Lord. Sometimes it takes just your back up against the wall. You have no other options. Like, you've hit rock bottom, and that's it. And that'll bring you, as I said, sometimes you could stay stuck in that place, but as she did, she recognized it and said, let me go back to the land of my Lord. Let me go back to, as the Bible says, my first love. Let me remember the Lord. Let me go back there. Instead, she could have just kept living in the land. She could have stayed in the land and just kept on, but she recognized that, okay, it's time for me to go back. And sometimes, like, that's why I say sometimes we hit rock bottom, and that's when we go to the Lord. And like you said, at least she did do that, because some people just continue and still stay away from the Lord.
Sadly, blaming the Lord in the corner,
yeah,
and don't move forward to see, wait a minute, this is my fault. Yeah. Because first, you left go the blessing place to pursue something else, you know. And then we have to also recognize, people, that we are living in a world that is very, very contaminated.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. But if you remain with the Lord and you recognize him, then that's how your life can change. That's how you can start moving to all the blessing,
yeah,
rather than stay behind. And something that I love, once you got back, people recognize it. They knew that she was somebody.
Yeah.
And then they would call her Naomi, meaning pleasant, gentle person.
Yeah.
And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, Biden.
Yeah.
She has so bitterness inside her that she doesn't even want to be called pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is a process that she needs to start working in order to, you know, the Lord do the miracle.
Yeah.
But something else, brother, that I want to highlight before we go in that portion when she get back, is that even though you met people from another place, and God has love for everybody, because I'm going to tell you, this is the type of mother in love and daughter in love relationship that we want to see in today's world.
Yeah.
Because she loved, Ruth loved Naomi like a mother.
Yeah.
So much that she even, let me tell you, the Bible doesn't say it, but how young she was, but she was very young. And when she decided to follow Naomi, she was saying, you know what? Naomi was telling them, let me tell you, I even if you go with me, you won't be able to make it, because even if I get a husband and have children, and you trying to wait for that time, it's not gonna be enough for you to have a relationship with my son. So go back to your people, to your God. And she said, nope, wait a minute. Even though the other one was, you know, suffering, you know, the separation, but she decided to go back to her people, to her God. Ruth said, no, you people will be my people. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your place will be my place. Your God will be my God.
Amen. Yeah.
That's a determination. That's a love, a loyalty. Because remember, in Israel time, when you lost your husband, your son, a woman is really, really destined to die. Because if you don't have, how are you going to support yourself? It's not like in today's society that we have a social security or some kind of social
life
program.
Insurance or something.
Yeah. And you can get something. But even though somehow Ruth left some property.
Yeah.
And then once she started going back to Israel, Naomi knew that even though life hasn't been good for her, being in the presence of the Lord is the best place. It is the best place to enjoy, the best place to live and have more opportunity. What do you think, brother?
Yeah, well, let me backtrack a little bit. I was thinking about something as you were talking. You know how Naomi came in and she was saying, don't call me Naomi. And you have to remember that back in the day, all the time when the Hebrews named somebody, there was always, like how we looked it up, they always had a meaning for their name. So when they said Naomi, they weren't just saying her name. They were thinking, they were remembering blessing, the gentle, the pleasant person. Blessing. And like, obviously, to be a gentle and pleasant, she obviously, like you're saying, she was blessed. She was favored with the Lord. She was a gentle person. She was a pleasant person. But she doesn't even want to be called that, because she allowed going to the other land, and she allowed all the stuff she's blaming God to make her feel this bitterness. So she didn't want to be called gentle or pleasant no more. She felt like she wasn't a gentle or pleasant person anymore. Now she's felt the bitterness, and that she was bitter because she allowed that to happen though. Yeah. And there, but they didn't see her like that. And it's like, when you come back to God, he doesn't see what you went through. He doesn't see the other stuff. He still sees you for who you were. And so when they came back to the land, and you know, back to the land of God, to Bethlehem, they didn't see her the way she saw herself. They still saw her and remembered her as a gentle and a pleasant woman. Yeah. So they said, Naomi, like, is that Naomi? Like, like you said, they were happy to see her because they remember she was a gentle and pleasant woman. Exactly. Because when they say her name, you have to remember that they always had a meaning for their name. So when they said it, they weren't just simply like Ernie or Ignacio. Yeah. Like, it's our name's kind of just, nowadays it's just a name.
It's a name,
But there is meaning behind that. So I thought about that. But then back to what you're saying about, of course, the, you know, to have a friend like Ruth that was there, you know, and when you think about it, she obviously must have been pretty gentle and pleasant with her daughter-in-law for her daughter-in-law to love her that much. Yeah. And that she didn't want to leave her, and that she was determined and became a friend that was willing to be with her through everything. They were already at rock bottom, but Ruth didn't care. She said, I'm going to be here with you. I'm whatever you're going through, I'm going to go through with you. And that's the type of, like we're saying, that's the type of friendship we need, somebody.
Amen.
And that's why it is important in today's world to have a good friend. If you're a woman, to have a good sister. If you're a man, to have a good brother, a friend that'll... You know, the Bible says that a good friend sticks closer than a brother in Proverbs, and that's same thing. It can go vice versa. I would say, you know, a good friend sticks closer than a sister. And in this situation, she was sticking close to her. She was like, I'm not leaving. I'm determined to be here to help you, whatever you need help with. I want to be, you know, I'm gonna follow you, and I'm not gonna let you go.
Yeah. So we can really understand how beautiful this process was. But another point that I want to highlight is that Naomi, if she doesn't have somebody to care for her, she's just gonna die, because she was in you know, advanced in age, and then she didn't have a husband or child or son specifically. But now Ruth, she was doing something amazing, and this is something that I wanna to highlight. Ruth, knowing that they don't have anything to eat, she said, "You know what? Let me go to the field, and pick it up whatever they left behind, you know, and." This is amazing. That's why everything that God do is for a purpose. In those days, and if I think it's in Levitical and Number, in those days, Moses established a law that God gave it a instruction to Moses that when you are in the field and you are picking, you know, I think it's barley, and there is wheat, you know, every barley, type of
wheat, grains,
every type of products on the fields, you know, that you are in the harvest picking up. The instruction was, if something falls, don't pick it up, leave it for the people that are very poor, and also for those widows, you know, that have nothing to get. And I said, that was blow mind for me, because I said, oh my God, look at this. And then Naomi, but this is amazing, brother, because they couldn't think like today, Christian, oh, I'm going to stay in the house and praise that the Lord's going to open the door for me. But no, Ruth told his mother-in-law, you know what? I'm going to the field to collect whatever is left behind.
Yeah.
And that was like a work for her, like a job for her. Because she's been the whole day doing that on the sun. And then there was a guy, the owner of the field.
Yeah.
Can you read chapter 2?
Boaz.
Yeah.
So Ruth meets Boaz. So this is in Ruth chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. They answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning till now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do you not go to glean in another field, nor go from here? But stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young woman of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
First, we can see how this guy is kind of like a type. And now, apparently he got impressed to see her.
Yeah.
Because, and he's the owner, because when he arrived, I don't know if you noticed something that he said to his employee, Bless the Lord. And what did they answer back to him? Bless him back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if today that's what we're saying in our job? You know, when the owner of the company bless you for what you're doing, and then you bless him back because it's of the beautiful personality, beautiful human being that have a strong relationship with the Lord, and that's how you speak blessing. I can tell that. In this particular book, there are so much blessing around.
Yeah.
Because even when Naomi went back to, I mean, Ruth went back to Naomi to tell her what happened, immediately Naomi said, blessing this man, Moab, that
Boaz,
yeah, that provided. Now, because he's already saw something beautiful in this lady, and we don't know exactly when this happened, but we know that both of them got in love, you know.
Yeah.
And the instruction was really, really carried out by Naomi, you know, give it a very, very unique instruction, because Naomi was concerned that Ruth doesn't have any descendant.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if Naomi doesn't have any descendant, she really, her name will be kind of like forget it, right? Mm-hmm. But there is something, if you can go to Leviticus 25, 48, there is a, I would say the command or mandate or rules that God establishes for anybody to redeem somebody. And just what you looking for that is, yeah. is it was kind of like a, the instruction that if a man marry a woman and he die, his brother is the next in line to, yeah. you know, redeem this lady.
Yeah.
And he has a right to say no, you know. And the practice was taking the shoe off and or the sandal by that time, you know, and put it like, no, I'm not going to take that responsibility.
Yeah.
And then the next in line would be the uncle.
Yeah.
Then if the uncle is not, it would be the nephew of that uncle.
Yeah.
And then after that, would it be any other close relative? Can you read that description? That was the rule.
Leviticus 25:48. After he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him. You want me to read 48? Because 49 explains what you're saying. Yeah. Or his uncle's son may redeem him. Or anyone who is near of kin to him and his family may redeem him. Or if he is able, he may redeem himself.
So you can see how the rules for the kinsman redeemment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that Boaz. I'm kind of messing the name.
Boaz.
Boaz, he is a very, very unique man because he made his research. He has content. Like, it's like a, I have my team to research about for me because. Because
he knew about her and knew what she did.
Yeah, and he also knew who was a close relative.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very impressed. We don't have to read it. We can let people to read it after though, so we can just add it. And something beautiful that happened over here is that she humbled. Ruth humbled herself in front of this man who also was willing to redeem her.
Yeah.
And this is what a type of the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're going to see some type, you know, in this particular story because the Bible used this as a type of the Lord. Because first, this lady came from a war of very, very bad land, little background, right?
Yeah.
When you and I came from. A war without God. A world without God. When you and I came from. And then somebody are willing to pay the price just like Jesus. And this man, Boaz.
Yeah.
I said it right.
Yeah.
he was willing to do the redeem process for her. But he was also right. Why? Because he knew that before him, there is a closer one. So by law, he have to, even though there was no judge or king in that particular time. So what he was doing, he made his research and he went to the town, to the main gate of the town. That's when the elderly people used to be. And he invite 10 elderly people and sit over there. I can tell you that somehow he find out that the person that are first in him, a relative that is closing in the family lineage, he found out that he would be working in that area. And amazingly, he saw and he said, hey, come on over here. Come on. And he looked like, this is what I said. Oh, here he come. Okay. Hey, come on over here. Come on. And all of these, please stand right there. People, be the eyewitness here because we're going to do this. Let me tell you, Naomi, she is a lady that her husband has a weight, and she has some land that she want to redeem, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it, but I'm not the closer one. But you are the first one. If you want to do it, go ahead. Mm-hmm. But look, smartly, he didn't present the other part, which is if you're redeeming, you have to take care of Ruth. Oh, I mean, you have to also take care of the daughter-in-law of her son who passed away as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, when he first heard the story about the land, because he liked the field, and he said, oh, I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to pay her to, you know, to get the property. But when he mentioned about the girl, he said, oh, wait a minute, I cannot redeem it because I already established my heritage. You know, like, it's, we don't know clearly, but it's kind of like he already has his family and his children. He divide everything that he already have, and he doesn't want to break it, because if he redeem it, he have to marry with Ruth, and the child that they have had to keep their name and also the heritage too. So he doesn't want to divide that.
Yeah.
And brother, he took his angel and presented as the evidence. No, he said, Boaz, you do it.
Yeah.
And Boaz, intelligently, he said, everybody, are you awareness of this? If I do this, he cannot come later. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but it's more what happened. And then he was able to receive. I don't know where Naomi or Ruth might be in that particular time, but they might be praying or something or waiting, because that was a very intense moment. And this story has beautiful things that we really love going through.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you're saying, it points to, like, Jesus, you know, and how God is with us today, that just as they hit rock bottom and they were on their last everything, they didn't know where to go or what to do, but they went back to the land of the Lord. You went back to the Lord, and the Lord is faithful to redeem us when we humble ourselves and go before Him, and we say, look, like, you finally give yourself to Him and you submit to Him, then He will redeem you and pull you through and bring you back up from where you were at when you hit rock bottom, and He'll redeem you and bring you back to where you're at, and even not even just where you're at, but even greater than where you probably were at in the first place.
Yeah. And then, you know, just for you guys to, I have some beautiful notes and that I think we can share, you know. And this is probably from the beginning. Well, to make the whole story shorter, right? We know that Boaz and Ruth, they got married. And they got a child. And that child was called, his name was Obed.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, when these people knew that they have a child, that Ruth has a child, and this man was blessing, they were rejoicing, because they even proclaimed the being blessed just as the house of Judas, you know, I forgot his name, Judah. I don't know if you remember the story when Judah, there was a lady, I think the child, the husband of the son, or his son, who passed away, and she pretended to be a prostitute.
Yeah.
And had a relationship with him, and she got a child. And they even say a bit of descendant just as Judah has. They mention her name, meaning, you know, kind of. But if you look, why they mention that name in particular in this particular session, it's just because it's the same lineage. If you go checking all the lineage, you will see that her descendants, her children, are kind of like all, you know, tracking back from Israel all the way to Danny. But that union make it so beautiful, brother, because Ruth and Boaz has Obed, Obed was the grandfather, or the great-grandfather, or the grandfather, I believe, of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David.
And
let me tell you, 27 descendants later, Jesus coming from that. And now, my question is, how God decided to connect his descendants from a woman that first was an incest. Very bad. Second, they've been worshiping gods that are not real God and doing all kind of ritual, you know. But God wants you and me to understand that if you are a prostitute, if you has the worst crime, he wants you to connect.
He wants you to see that it doesn't matter. He doesn't look at your past. You're never too far gone for him, no matter what you've done. It's just recognizing it and being able to humble yourself, repent, and get back to him. And once you repent, you know, the Bible makes it clear that you're forgiven. He's forgotten your sins. He's not going to bring up your past. So what better way to demonstrate that than exactly how Ignacio broke that down, that from Ruth, who was a Gentile, not from Israel, from a pagan land that worshiped false gods, was redeemed, brought into the land, and then not just redeemed and brought into that land, but also was able to carry on in her as part of the lineage that points all the way to our Savior, proving that God shows no favoritism. He shows no partiality. He wants to use anybody and everybody, and it doesn't matter what happened, what's in your past, or what you've done. The moment you come to him, and once you accept him and you humble yourself and repent before him, then your past is it. He doesn't remember your past, and he wants to use you in a way. And your past, nothing can hold you back from what he wants to do in your life. But you have to first recognize it as they recognized it. Mm-hmm. Went back to the land of Bethlehem and went back. And you know, as Ruth said, I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to worship your God, you know, and that's where it's at. We have to cling to the Lord and worship God alone and only God, only through Jesus.
Amen, amen. And now what I want to highlight is that Boaz, he paid a price. You see the guy, the previous relative, the closer relative, he won the field, but he doesn't want the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Some people might be interested of the joys of the Lord or being saved, but they don't want the responsibility.
Yeah.
And be saved, being in the Lord has responsibility.
Yeah.
And also, if you are, you know, just kind of like looking for a husband or a wife, in this part, there are responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not just, you cannot just have the feel and that's it.
Yeah.
No, also the responsibility.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it cost Boaz something, right? He paid the price for purchasing the feel and the redeem, and he redeemed Ruth, right? It cost Jesus, what is the type? Real. It cost Jesus everything, and he pays the price.
Paid the price.
And he purchased us and redeems us from our sins. Oh my God. Yeah. That's a beautiful, that's the type that I love. You see?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was looking like. I say, oh my God. This story is beautiful because it's really exposed us how we are. And then how Jesus really pay the price. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna tell you, brother, friends, and sisters, you have the opportunity to connect back with the Lord. You have the you know, I would say something amazing that you cannot even imagine how big is this, because Christ paid the price. And let me tell you something amazing also as a type. This man, Boaz, he didn't willingly. It's not like because he has the right to say no.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you are obligated to do it. No. He couldn't say no, just like the previous guy.
Yeah.
And that would be okay because he's not obligated. Jesus. Oh, my God. Jesus couldn't say no, but he say willingly, I want to die. Because he knows only die for you and for me because he loves us, but also he did it because he loved the Father.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do it. And you can even tie that on the book of Romans, that it say that this sacrifice that he's doing it because to please his Father.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it. What do you think, brother?
Like you said, Ruth is definitely a story that a lot of people, like you asked me in the beginning, maybe we haven't read, but when you go look at it and you see the connection to Jesus and you see the connection with the story of, you know, someone being redeemed, somebody who in that time would seem like they were unredeemable. Like you said, they came from a history of incest and from a land of false gods and just everything. And it's the same way with us. When Jesus came, he came for the Jews and the Gentiles. He came for everybody. Amen. And there was a lot of people, same stuff, you know, going on in the time when Jesus was around. There was people worshiping false gods. And it was the same message that he's here to save everybody. And he died for the whole world, you know, not just the ones that were following him, but even the ones that weren't. And it's the same way when Ruth got redeemed. You know, she didn't begin her life following the Lord, the God of Israel. No, she grew up in a land where she didn't know about that. But just as her mother-in-law came through, and even as Jesus came through and was telling people about, you know, the kingdom of heaven that's at hand right now. And so it's the same situation. And we can even be that person to come along to somebody today that maybe doesn't know about the Lord, and we can be that person to let them know that they can be redeemed, just as it is in the story and just how it is in many stories in the Bible, how God redeems us. And it doesn't matter your background or whatever it is, but we can be that person to shed that light, to share that light, and come along and tell the person about the Lord.
Amen, amen. And another parallel or type that we can even say is that Boaz was a kinsman redeeming to Ruth, right? But Jesus stepped out of heaven and took on flesh to become a kinsman for us, to redeem us. And another part is that Boaz was motivated by love. Jesus also was motivated by love.
Mm-hmm.
And not by the law, you know, that
yeah.
preside that particular type. So I think this story is one of the most amazing story, brother, that I can really imagine, because it really can identify us when we are in the most difficult time of our life.
Yeah.
What is it, what we have to do? Go back. And let me tell you, not only Ruth and Boaz was blessed with this situation, also, Naomi was blessed.
Yeah.
Because the people, and this is something, you know, that we didn't read it, but the people even named this child, the people in the town. Not even Boaz, Ruth, or Naomi. The people in the town named it. And they were so amazing. And the Bible said that Naomi nurtures that child. She was like the grandnanny, taking care of that child, because that was a blessing. Remember, her name, husband, will be continued through that particular lineage.
Yeah,
and Boaz did something very amazing, and God was able to use him to continue the connection until Jesus came.
Yeah.
And this is, you might think this is something very simple, but for Ruth, this was something amazing. Somehow she was exposed. God was exposed to her. And when she clicked to that particular truth, she didn't want to leave it behind.
Yeah.
She could have to get married with another person, but she want to follow this lady, not just because she was a beautiful and gentle mother-in-law, but also because of the God that she served.
Yeah.
And that was the key. Because she knew, hey, if I continue with this guy, something beautiful and amazing will happen to me.
Yeah.
And she was also very humble, you know, because a lot of instruction there. Naomi gave it to her.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can affect us. You know, I'm from another town, from another land. I'm young. She was young.
Yeah.
Very young, you know, and very attractive young lady, because we can see, because Boaz, he was amazing that she couldn't get a rich man or a younger person.
Yeah.
And she preferred to be with him.
Yeah.
Wow. To please the Lord and to live for the Lord is a very responsible and something that we had to commit ourselves to do it.
Yeah.
No matter how difficult situation might be, how circumstances might change, even if this gas price is to the, you know, to the rock, mm-hmm. even if I don't have a job,
yeah.
even if I don't have the family that I supposed to have, you keep with God. Because there is no, like the Bible said, there is no, I believe it's Solomon who said in the proverb, or David, one of those, he said that I was young and I have been, and now I'm old and I haven't been able to see a righteous person that serve the Lord without food. I'm paraphrasing, but the Bible might explain.
I've never seen the righteous go hungry.
Go hungry. Yeah. You see, go hungry. It's interesting. It's interesting that the Lord gave it this beautiful word. If you remain, he will remain with you. Remember, Naomi and her family were the one who left. And it's interesting for me that she came back saying that I'm empty. But why you left if you were empty?
No.
And this is why I tell many people, if you feel empty internally, don't leave. Because outside there is nothing.
Yeah.
What do you think, bro?
Yeah, and if you're empty, nothing's gonna fill that void that you're looking for except for Jesus. He's the only one that can fill that void that you feel missing. So if you're feeling empty, turn to the Lord and let him fill you up. Because if you chase any other things of the world, or when situations aren't going well and you try to fill that void and fill yourself up with other things, it's not going to do anything when you're already feeling empty. The only thing that's going to fill that emptiness, the only thing that's going to fill that void is the Lord. So seek him and let him meet you where you're at, just as he met them where they were at when they hit rock bottom, and he was able to redeem them. And that's just as we say, that's what Jesus wants to do for you. If you've hit rock bottom, he wants to redeem you. So put your faith in him today and allow him to redeem you, to bring you up from rock bottom. Build your house, build your foundation on him. He's the rock. Instead of hitting rock bottom, build your foundation on the rock, which is Jesus. And
Amen.
So when a situation does come, you won't hit rock bottom because you're built on the rock, which is in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And I love this story. In fact, we are even kind of like doing unveiling God's prophecy that I believe it mentioned that type of story, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the type because the Bible mentioned in the New Testament this as a type prophecy, you know. So sadly we are arriving to the end of the episode number 72.
And well, like always, we want to bring this to an end. You know, we want to encourage all that like this video, share this video, subscribe.
Amen.
Share it. We got Twitch, YouTube, X, which used to be Twitter, Facebook. We're on Spotify and a couple other platforms. Yeah. I think it's Pandora, Amazon, Samsung Podcasts.
You forgot to press that button.
Bro. Oh, wow. Well,
we might got it from YouTube.
Yeah. But, yeah, just so like, subscribe to wherever we're at and just share this. Maybe you know somebody that's hit rock bottom. So maybe this can bring them some hope when they're down in a bad place right now. And then we always want to also, you know, invite y'all to the church as well to come fellowship at the fellowship in Texas City and come worship God and come check it out. And, you know, the services are 8:15, 10 o'clock, and 11:45. And as always, there's if you have a family member or friend that's maybe more Spanish speaking or only knows Spanish, that they can get a headset and the message can be translated and we can all be together hearing the same message in the same place at the same time. So, and just come out and let's worship God and let's learn more about God and be united together in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. So, see you on the next episode.
See you next time.
And God bless you.
God bless.
Hasta la próxima. Like Arnold used to say, right? Hasta la vista.